So today we finish our study of the book of Revelation. And I'm going to tell you, as I told them in the early service, as I did even last Sunday, that it's amazing, right, that although we have 40 different people who write the Bible over 1,600 years, we have one single author, and that's Almighty God. And Almighty God reminds us right here at the end, He waits until the end of the entire book, the entire Bible, to give us 8 most important truths that we need as the followers of Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bibles in hand today with me as we go to that very last chapter, the very last page, Revelation chapter 22, verse 7 through 21. And I want you to go ahead and stand with me this morning as we read and honor God's Word. It's the same exact text that we talked about last Sunday, the same text we'll read today. It's titled, Jesus is Coming. Folks, this is the stretch drive. Let's kick until the end, all right? Here we go. Behold, Jesus says, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. He said, worship God. And then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, Jesus said, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Now remember last week we talked about the correct interpretation. Blessed are those who have had their robes washed. Remember that? And I will give to everyone, blessed are those who have had their robes washed, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs. Those who practice magical arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things, say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And let's say it all together. Amen. Be seated. Last week, folks, we began talking about the 8 final words of Jesus contained in these verses. And for those of you that were with us, or perhaps you weren't, I'll either tell you right quick or I'll remind you that we covered the first 4 of these 8 last Sunday. We saw that there is a final command in these verses. That command is worship God. We saw that there's a final principle. After death, it's too late. We learned that there's a final description of Jesus. He defines himself as the great I am. And then there's a final blessing. The blessing is obey me. So last Sunday, we talked about those first 4. And today, in part 2 of this final message, we're going to talk about the last 4. And so let's dive right in. Number 5 in our list of 8 is these verses contain the final invitation. And that invitation is come and drink. Go to verse 17 with me. In verse 17, Jesus writes, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And then God extends this beautiful invitation, right? He says, whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And so God's last invitation in the Bible is come and drink the water of life. Now, church, I love this because it reminds me of what I've been convinced of for some time, that God's favorite word is what? It's come. You look over and over again in Scripture and you'll see that to be true. God consistently says, come. You see, there was only one time that God ever said, get out. When was that? When Adam and Eve had sinned against God, He said, you must get out of the Garden of Eden. But since that time, He's been inviting people like us. He's been inviting men and women and boys and girls to come back into fellowship with Him. Let me give you some examples. In John chapter 7, Jesus says, if a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. In Matthew chapter 11, Christ again, come to me, He said, all of you who are weak and burdened, and I will give you rest. You go all the way back to the Old Testament, you see the same theme. Remember, God told Noah to build the ark, right? It was to save his family from judgment. And as it started to rain, Noah and all the animals, they were outside the ark. But in the Hebrew text, it reads this way. God literally says, Noah, come into the ark. He didn't point down from heaven and say, hey, Noah, get in that ark. No, you get the picture in your mind. God's already inside the ark. He's motioning his arm unto Noah. He's saying, hey, please, come inside. Folks, when I hear those words, I'm convinced, right, that the ark, that wood structure that we call a massive boat, it never was the structure that was protecting Noah. It was always the protective presence of Almighty God. Isn't that wonderful? And here's the truth. If God's word, favorite word is come, then I want you to hear that word spoken to you today. You see, that's been God's invitation through all history. And it's the same word that He speaks to your heart today. You may be in this room, you may be watching live on your television through live stream. But I want you to know this, that God says to every single one of us today, He says, come to me. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter who you've been. Your God has always been seeking you, and He embraces and reaches out to you today, and He says, please, come to me. Isn't it amazing that salvation is a free gift from God? You can't earn it. A gift is something that somebody gives you out of love, right? But sadly, here's the problem. Many Americans and many people across the world, they apply the hard work ethic approach to faith. They come from households and generations that work hard, and they say if you want something in life, you have to work hard for it. But folks, that's not the way it works in the area of salvation. You see, we never earn what God has to give unto us. We can never earn it through our good deeds. God's not impressed by us. He's not impressed by me as a pastor. He's not impressed by you as a follower of Christ. Salvation is a free gift that can only be humbly accepted or rejected. Jesus says again to us today, would you just please come? Whenever I read this verse, I always go back and think about this story of a pastor friend of mine. He told me this. He said one time he was preaching in a church and he was teaching the book of Revelation. And he said he was there and he was preaching the whole thing. And he said the people really enjoyed the message. The place was packed, he said. But he came to this last chapter, Revelation 22. And he came to this verse, verse 17. And he told the people, God says, if you want to be saved, then come. And he said as soon as he said it, in that packed room, a young boy in the back, he gets up and he runs down the aisle to stand beside the preacher. He says, young man, what are you doing? And he said, I'm coming to receive Christ. The preacher had material left. He had tons of stuff still to say. The sermon wasn't over, right? But that young man came. What great faith. He said the pastor took him off, led him to receive Christ as Savior, and the guest preacher just kept on preaching Revelation. Great story, right? The final invitation. Jesus gives it here, but He also gives it in this room. Come and drink the water of life. If you drink of Jesus, you'll never thirst again. Somebody say amen. The final invitation. Let's move on. The final warning. The final warning is don't alter the word. Go to verse 18. If you're a preacher, these words are scary. If you're anybody who tries to teach God's word, this warning gets your attention. Verse 18, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plague described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Folks, this warning is applied specifically to the book of Revelation, and it's powerful, isn't it? But the powerful principle also applies to all of God's Word, because 2 Timothy chapter 3 says all Scripture is inspired by God. What's that word inspired mean? Some of your translations would say something like this: all of God's Word is God-breathed. And that's what the meaning is. The word inspired is literally the word God breathed. God breathed. He inspired these words into the minds of the different people who wrote the Bible. In the same way, he breathed, he inspired the mind of the Apostle John, who gave us the book of Revelation. But here's the powerful thing. With Revelation, with this book, the written revelation ceased. You see, there is no other written revelation. Now, he's still speaking to us through the Holy Spirit today, but there haven't been any additional words from God. And that leads us to have a little conversation. Let's talk about the Mormons for a minute. Now, how many of you would say, Pastor, I'm impressed with the Mormons? I would tell you that I kind of am impressed by the Mormons. They're decent and they're family-focused. It seems impressive. But the problem is they say they believe the Bible, but then they've added the Book of Mormon. Folks, that's a problem. Let's talk about the Muslims for a moment. The Muslims claim that they believe the Bible, but they claim the Quran supersedes the Bible because it was given to Muhammad later than the Bible was written in history. So the Mormons and the Muslims both add to the Word of God. That's a problem. But I don't think we should just pick on the Mormons and the Muslims. Because here's the truth, sometimes ignorant Christians also add to the Word of God by claiming the Bible says things that it never says. You'll hear them say things like this: well, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Pardon my grammar, folks, that ain't in the Bible. Okay? Or they'll say the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. Let me say it again, that ain't in the Bible. Folks, neither of those statements is in God's Word. We have to be careful that we don't add anything to the Bible. God gives us a warning. But let's flip it to the other side. It is true that we can add things to God's Word, but I'm convinced the main issue for many of us is we take away things from God's Word by ignoring portions of it. In other words, we'll do this part of the Bible, but we'll eliminate that part because that's harder and it doesn't fit our narrative, right? Why don't you look at your screen? How many of you have been to the home of Thomas Jefferson? Do we have that picture today? There it is. You've been there? Have you ever seen Thomas Jefferson's Bible? It's called the Jefferson Bible. That's what it looks like. You say, Pastor, there's something going on there that doesn't seem right to me. Well, that's exactly right, because Jefferson didn't believe parts of the Bible, so what did he do? He just cut them out. Now, he's one of our great founding fathers. He deserves tons of respect. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, that's his, right? I mean, all of these things, so important in our society, but he didn't believe parts of the Bible. He believed the moral teachings, but he cut out everything that claimed that Jesus was divine and all the miracles. And so you begin to have a Bible that looks like this. Folks, you're going to cut a lot of things out if you're removing that, because the Bible is a book of miracles, isn't it? Now, let's not pick too long on Thomas Jefferson. You may not use a pair of scissors. You may not have a Bible that looks like this. But whenever you knowingly ignore the teaching of the Word of God, you're doing the same thing Thomas Jefferson did. You see, you're taking away from the Bible. We have to take heed, don't we? We have to pay heed to God's final warning. Don't add to, don't take away from the Word of God. Somebody say amen to that. So we have the final invitation. Come and drink the water. We have the final warning. Don't alter the Word. And then we have the final promise. My favorite of all of Christ's promises. Steve just sang about it. Jesus' promise, I am coming soon. How many of you think Jesus is coming soon? You better. I remember growing up in the church, and I was told that there were 365 promises in the Bible, one for every single day. Did you ever get told that line? Well, luckily, I read the book written by Herbert Lockyer, a great Bible scholar, and he actually counted them. He said there are over 5,400 promises in the Bible. But right here in Revelation 22, we have the last one. And it literally is the last words of Christ in the Scripture. He said, I am coming soon. And he repeats it three times. Look with me. Verse 17, behold, I am coming soon. There it is. Verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. He says the exact same thing. Verse number 20, he who testifies of these things says, yes, meaning certainly, without a doubt, I am coming soon. Folks, here's all I want to say about it. I'm not going to expound any more than this. If it was soon 2,000 years ago when the words were written, it has to be sooner now. That just makes sense, right? So you better get ready and you better stay ready. The final prayer. We arrive at the final one for the morning, the final one of the series. And the final prayer in all the Bible is, Amen, come. It's also found in verse 20. I love this because when Jesus uttered his final promise of his pending return, John immediately prays. He said, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Now we know that word, amen, don't we? It's important, isn't it? It's important. It means, let it be. We could sing the song this morning, right? Let it be, let it be. But I want you to get inside John's language. Basically, he says this, O Lord Jesus, please come. I want to ask you, do you want Jesus to just go ahead and come on right now? I've got to be honest with you, I do. I'm getting sick of a lot of things. I'm sick of our society. It's hard to watch. It's hard to raise children in this world, isn't it? It is. I'm getting sick of sin in my life and in the lives around me. It's hard. It's hard to pastor a church in this society. I find myself saying, come Lord Jesus. And I'll bet you do too. But here's the question that I need to ask, that God needs to ask all of us. Are we ready for His return? I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote. You'll recognize the words. They're famous in Scripture. He wrote them to Timothy. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But not only to me, he said, but also to all those who have longed for his what? His appearing. Do you long for the appearing of the Lord? Do you long for him to appear unto you? Are you ready for that appearing? I remember when I was a kid that I fought with my sisters. Anybody else fight with their siblings? I had four sisters. You can laugh at that because, man, it was rough. I never saw the bathroom my whole childhood. I couldn't even get in there. But my sisters and I, we fought. And I remember on one occasion, my sister and I were fighting and we broke something in her room. And by that, I mean I broke something in her room, right? And my mama comes to me and she says, I'm calling your dad right now and he's going to come home and discipline you. And then I had to sit and wait. Have you ever been in that position? It's horrific. I didn't want my dad to appear. I didn't want my dad to show up. I knew it was going to be bad for me, right? And I was ashamed when I saw my dad face to face because of what I had done. And here's the question. Are there things in your life that are keeping you from truly longing for the return of Jesus? And then this, won't you confess them? And won't you to repent now so that you can face Jesus in confidence rather than shame? Now, folks, after my dad spanked me, and believe me, my dad could give a spanking. How many of you got a spanking growing up? Praise God for spankings. As a daddy, I still believe in spankings, don't you? I'm saying it right out loud. I don't care what you people think. All right? I think spankings are good. My son Ryan's sitting in here today, and he'll tell you he's loved every spanking he's gotten. That's not true. Spankings are a lot easier to talk about when you're the dad and not the son, I will say that. But after my dad spanked me, he left me alone in my tears to consider the error of my ways. Gosh, I hated that. You think about what you've done. So I sat in there and I thought about it. And then Dad came back in and he put his arm around me. And he told me he expected more of me. Because he loved me. So we get to the end of Revelation. What a trek, right? What a journey. And when we arrive at this last page, I think it's likely that you have one of two reactions. And I really believe that this is the purpose of the book. That you may be sitting there today and you're the first reaction and you may be sighing with relief because, hey, you're just ready for Jesus to come at any moment. You're not afraid of the future because you know you're walking with the Lord and you're trying to honor Him with your life. And so you're saying out loud, hey, come Lord Jesus, I'm ready. And if that's you, I celebrate that with you because I feel those things alongside of you. But however, there's another reaction. Maybe you're this. Maybe you felt uneasy the whole time. Maybe you're fearful about thinking about Jesus coming again because you're not prepared to meet Him face to face and you know things are not going to go that well. And if that's you, then I have a final word for you. And in fact, I want the last words of the series to reflect the very last words of the book of Revelation. And these last words, folks, are words about grace. You see, God offers the grace of His forgiveness for every sin through the sacrifice of His Son, Lord Jesus. And so may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you as you now turn to receive Him as your Savior and make yourself